I was going to tell you all a story. Yeah, I'm pretty nervous. Yeah, I know. Troy's on a hot monitor for a reason. Probably feels mine right now. That's my only joke. I worked on that all week. About 15 years ago, I heard a message here that always stuck with me. And it was Jan's brother, Mel. And he came and delivered. I don't know if we were having a revival here or not, but I think he just came and might have just preached. But Mel's a missionary and evangelist, and he had gone all over the place, and he got called to go to Dominican Republic, right? And he was there probably for about 5 years. And while he was there at the Dominican Republic, he would always get asked to do speaking engagements, preach a sermon here and there or do revivals. And one week he got called by a pastor to do a revival. And so he went over there. There in the Dominican Republic, there's all these like small little villages, small little towns everywhere, very poor area. But he just felt led to go there. And he knew there was a calling there. So one day he got a call from one of the pastors. And the pastor said, "Hey, will you come on down? I'd love to talk to you about doing a revival for me this week. We're having a, the church is, we're doing okay. We're not really growing in numbers, but we're doing okay. But I just feel like you coming and just sharing your heart and everything, I think that it'd be a great opportunity for our church to just hear some fresh, fresh words." And so he said, "Okay, so let me come on down." So he came down, visited with him for a little bit, and they got talking, and eventually they kind of mosey on outside. And as they were talking outside, he noticed that there was this house back in the distance, and there was this lady and this man. They're just sitting on the porch, just talking, waving at people as they go by. And he said to the pastor, he goes, "Who is that?" He goes, "I noticed that he's waving at everybody and she's waving at everybody." He goes, "Oh, that's Reuben and Martha. I don't know their names, but that's who they are today." And he said, "Oh, okay." He goes, "They seem like friendly people." He goes, "Oh yeah, they're friendly people." And so he didn't really think anything else of it. So days go by, and Mel's getting ready to do his revival. And so he calls the pastor and said, "Hey, I just want to get, I know it's about time. I want to get started to figure out my where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to do and all that. Do you mind if I come on down?" And he said, "Yeah, come on down. Let's talk." And so he got over there and they started talking. They got it all figured out for that week. And what they're planning on doing. And again, they were kind of moseyed on outside. And Mel looked over there at that house again, and he sees just the man there. And the man's not waving at really anybody, just there. So Mel's like, "I'm going to go introduce myself to him." So he leaves the pastor, walks over there down the street, and begins to introduce himself. And he said, "Hey, I'm Mel. I'm going to be doing a revival this week, and I'd love for you to come. I noticed that your wife was out here the other day. I was wondering where she is. Is she here so I can meet her?" And he said, "No. She passed away a few days ago." "Oh man, I'm sorry. I didn't know that." He said, "Is there anything I can pray for you about?" He goes, "No." He goes, "I'm all right. I'll be all right." And he said, Mel said, "Well, I know it's a hard time right now, but I'd love for you to, I'm preaching down the street at this church, and I'd love to have you come and just listen to my message." And he said, "Let me think about it." He said, "Okay." He goes, so he leaves, Mel leaves, and it's getting ready to get closer to the revival. And that night, it starts, and Mel didn't really think any more about it. He knows he's talking to other people, throughout the week and stuff. So he begins to preach, and all week long he starts preaching. And he noticed that the man showed up. And so each night, Mel preaches just this awesome sermon. he talks how the Lord, you know, how he died for our sins and that how, you know, we have to believe with all our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that if we're willing to do that and repent from our sins, he's faithful to forgive us. And then we can become saved. So Mel preached this every night. He didn't ever call anybody to come down and until the last night. So it was the last night, last sermon. And Mel decided, you know, I know there's probably some lost people here in this church. I'm going to preach salvation. So he did. He shared his heart. He shared that how God loves us, how he wants us to be born again. He knows that we're all sinners and that you know, we all fall short of the glory of God. And so he preached this just wonderful sermon, and he decided that, you know, if there's anyone out there that wanted to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that to come on forward. Come down at the end of the service and let me pray with you. So he called the worship. People came down. The man came down, accepted his Lord and Savior. And after the service, you know, the revival, after it being a long week, people were talking to him. They were just all happy and everything. And, you know, Mel was excited. He had a great week. You know, people got saved. And that, but he noticed something in the back. He noticed a man is just sitting there. You know, everybody's already kind of leaving and going and just talking and hanging out. But he knows the man's back there, and the man's just sitting there crying. So Mel's like, oh, I wonder what's wrong with him. He just got saved. Why is he crying? So Mel walked over there to him, and he said, Reuben, what's wrong? He goes, why are you crying? He goes, this is a happy time. You just accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You should be happy. He said, yeah. He said, you know, all week long, I've been listening to your sermon and stuff, and you were telling me that if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll be saved, but you have to repent. And you have to ask God to forgive you, and you have to have Jesus Christ in your heart. He goes, yeah. He goes, you did that. He goes, yeah, but my wife never did. See, my wife never knew that. All these people were walking by every day, going to church, waving at me, friendly. But they never asked me to come to church. I never knew this. He said, is my wife in hell? Mel just began to cry. He said, she would have had to ask Jesus Christ in her heart. And he said, she didn't know that. He goes, he said, why didn't you come sooner? And Mel just sat there and just like, what do you say? You know? So although it's a sad story, you know, I started thinking about it more this week, and I was like, you know, there's more to this story. It's more than the story. It's just the lady didn't accept Christ, and she's probably in hell today. I think the story is also what everybody in the church missed. You have two people sitting on a porch every day with the church down the street, waving at everybody, friendly, but never having the desire to go to church. And you have the church walking down the street, waving at the friendly people on the porch, but never stopping to ask, do you want to come to church with me? And you could be the pastor or the Sunday school teacher or the deacon or the ministry coordinators that seek an opportunity but don't take it. So my question today is, which one are you? You know, I only saw one good thing out of this. Well, I saw a couple. One, that he got saved. What I saw was we had one person that felt the Holy Spirit guiding him and leading him to go and do mission work, to go preach, to go teach, to go seek. Mel saw an opportunity that the pastor saw for years but didn't do anything about it. Mel saw an opportunity to seek and do something when the church just kept walking by. Mel did it right. How come he didn't come sooner? He was there. He was just doing God's work somewhere else. He can't be everywhere. That's why God sent us. He sent the church. You know, we can't put it all on the pastor. Can't put it all just on the missionaries. It's our obligation, individually, if we are Christians, to go and seek. Seek an opportunity. I titled this sermon, One Last Chance. And it's not really a sermon because I'm not a preacher. Wendy reminded me of that. So, one last chance. Today could be your last chance to go and seek someone that you know is probably not saved. To seek someone that probably doesn't go to church. You know, I'm looking at this room. It's only about 50 by 60. And 2.5 years ago, this thing was packed. And I keep thinking to myself, I'm going to be the first person with a jackhammer to knock that wall down. I want us to grow. It doesn't have to be so much in numbers. You know, our church is, this way it's been for years, you know. But is it acceptable? Should we just accept it? Or should we do something about it? You know, I have given opportunities, and I didn't take them. I hear sometimes even that people are going to hell. People tell me that all the time. One of my best friends told me that 6 months before he was shot, that he was going to hell. I was a young Christian. I didn't do anything about it. I said, no, you're not. Yeah, he's probably in hell today. So the sermon story is one last chance. We have one last chance opportunity to go and tell our story, to go share a cross with somebody. You know, it may be your last chance to accept Christ. You know, that lady probably didn't know she was going to die a few days later. Her husband obviously didn't. So today, it's an opportunity, you know. If you know somebody that is struggling hard in their Christian walk, I encourage you to call them. It could be your friend. It could be a family member. But can you imagine this husband have to know the rest of his life that his wife is going to go to hell? Because she never knew that. I couldn't imagine that. Don't you want your family to go to heaven with you? Don't you want to go to heaven? And if you don't know Maybe today's the opportunity to come forward. Dude, I'm scared to death right now. I try to get out of it. I'm only two songs away from getting out of this. I almost made it. I told Sal. He said, man, let me do it. Eric, I'll take care of it for you. I said, no. I said, okay. That night, I text Jan back and I text Sal back. I was like, whew. I just felt like, ooh, good. I don't have to do this. And Monday morning came. And God said, you know, you're worse than Moses' brother. Yeah, you're gonna be stupid up there, and you're probably gonna say you're not gonna make sense or anything. But just tell the story. You know, don't follow a guideline. I couldn't follow it, and so I decided just to tell the story. And I hope that you don't take the story just that the husband lost his wife and it's a sad story, and then she's gonna die in hell. But you take the story because there was more to the story. The story was, the man on the porch had an opportunity to go to church, and he wouldn't. He just sat there. Was that our fault? Was it the church members' fault? Then you got the church members. They just kept walking by and never even said anything. Just said, hello. Then you got the pastor that knew about it, knew that they were nice people. So if they were nice people, why wouldn't he go over there and invite them to come to church? So which one are you? Which one? You know, I'm not about manipulation or anything like that. You know, I want to be real. But I want to pray for you. Because it's not easy sharing Christ. It really isn't. It's hard. You know, it's out of your comfort zone. I am completely out of my comfort zone right now. But isn't that what God wants us to be? A little out of our comfort zone? If we're never out of our comfort zone, then we're not really challenging. So I've challenged Savannah to teach tonight. I've challenged Caden to teach the last 2 weeks. They took the challenge. How hypocritical would it be for me to ask them to do something out of their comfort zone and not do this? In front of you is some offering envelopes. I put my name on it. And I also put pastor. See, I had to figure out which one I was in the story. I'm the pastor that says, go out there and seek. But I'm going to give it to God, and I'm going to pray to be better at it. I'm not going to be perfect. You may be the church member that just walks on by. I don't know what you've been doing. I feel like if we're doing more, maybe our church would probably grow. Maybe you're the person sitting on the porch, never comes to church, waves at your family that goes by, waves at the church members that go by. I don't know which one you are. Maybe you're male. I know I'm not a male. So I'm just asking you. You don't have to. On the envelope right there, if you'll put your name on it, tell me which one you are. You're struggling in a certain area, the staff is going to pray for you this week. We're going to have these envelopes. I want you to put your name on it. I can't pray for you if I don't know your name. Yeah, God knows, but I don't. And I want to pray for you. I want you to pray for me. So I'm just going to give it to God. If you feel led, you want to pray, come on up. If you want to write it down for us to pray for you, we'll do that, I promise. But we got to do something different, church. We got to do something different. We either got to be willing to go, willing to seek, Or this is what we get. We get to come listen to music. We get to hear a good sermon. Then we go home. Is that it? Is that our life? Then we go the rest of the 6 days doing what we want, never even thinking about it? I think there's more to it. I think God's called us to do more. I'm not saying go work 100 hours a week and go get on the mission board and just start knocking on every door. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is see an opportunity. Seek. Ask God, let me talk to somebody today. Let me spend some time with a coworker. He may laugh in your face. It's a possibility. You tried. You invited him. You didn't just go and wave and be friendly to him. There's a lot of friendly people going to hell every day. A lot of friendly people. A lot of loving family members are probably going to hell. And you don't even have the courage to ask them. Maybe you do. But don't you want to know for sure? So we're fixing to do our closing song, and I just pray that you just pray about it. Give it to God today. Because you never know when it's your last chance to do it. Let's pray. You can stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity to share this story. I pray that, Lord, that it's just not a story that we're just reminded that it's a sad that this man lost his wife and that she's in hell. Although that's a sad story, Lord, I just pray that we try and figure out which one are we. Are we the pastor? Are we the man sitting on the porch? Are we the church that just continues to walk by? Are we male that seeks an opportunity? I just pray, Lord, that you just convict our heart today. I pray that we be a church that continues to love one another, be united, but challenges ourselves to become more than what we are today. How can we grow if we don't push ourselves? I just pray that you just lead this church. Lead them in however you want. In your name we pray. Amen.